Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, horror fans, and thank you for downloading The Horror Show. Sit back while your hosts Sean and Joe take you back in time to review your favorite and not-so-favorite horror movies from yesteryear with their own twisted comedic view. Your hosts will remind you why you loved or hated those classic horror movies and other horror-related events. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to The Horror Show.
Everybody, and welcome to The Horror Show, the show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not-so-favorite horror movies and other horror-related events. I'm your co-host, Sean.
I'm Joe.
Joe, I am so, so excited for Valentine's Day. I have got my card, I've got my chocolates here, and I cannot wait to give my Valentine all these gifts. I can't wait to see the look on her face.
Dude, I know. Jamie Lee Curtis is going to be so fucking happy when she gets my gifts.
Excuse me? Yeah, wait. You said Jamie Lee Curtis is your Valentine's Day this year?
I did.
Well, no, I mean, I understand. No, she's a great. I mean, she's great. She's great. But I kind of told you a few weeks ago she's going to be my Valentine.
Well, I know.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. So, okay. No, I mean, I totally respect that. I mean, we can both, we'll let her choose. We're expecting her any minute now. She should be here. We'll just sit here. We'll wait. We'll present our gifts and we'll see who she chooses.
Fair enough.
I think, I mean, this kind of puts me in a bind, but I feel, we'll just let her choose. You know what? In the meantime, though, why don't we talk about why we like her so much?
Oh, sounds good to me.
All right. So we're going to talk about the love of our horror movie lives, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes. The original Scream Queen.
I agree. I'm 100% with you. Fuck her mom. Fuck her mom. Fuck her mom. Not even in the sexual way. Screw her. Oh, that still works. Damn it. Why are all these words used for sexual intercourse also?
I don't know. It's Valentine's Day. Go pound sand.
Destroy her mom. Destroy her mom. Yeah, we're really excited to talk about this. We came up with the idea to honor one leading female from horror movies every year for Valentine's Day. And we're going to talk about why they're a horror queen. And I went back and forth on who we should do. for the first year. I didn't want to, you know, I felt like Jamie Lee Curtis is so good, I almost wanted to save her, but you can't.
I know. And then at the same time, you're like, man, it's such an obvious choice, but how can you skip over it?
Who else would it be? Who else would be your first one? You know what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. So let's talk about some of the movies Jamie Lee has been in. We're going to hit them all. We watched every single horror movie she's been in.
We did.
And we are going to talk. Guys, I skipped out on one. If you had to take a guess, you'd probably guess right.
No, because nobody knows about this movie.
Yeah, that's true. They'd be like, what? No one's seen it. Except Joe now. Yeah. Joe has seen it. So,
but and Quentin Tarantino.
And Quentin Tarantino.
I'll explain it later.
Okay. So we're going to start out talking about, we had a discussion about how we should start this off because there's just so many ways to go about it, but I don't think chronologically is the best way. I mean, really, after 80 and 81, she stopped. So it's not so much of a lot of these are made in the same year.
Dude, she was busy as shit in the early 80s.
Dude, crazy busy. Let's talk about the Halloween movies first. Let's start where she started.
Yeah.
You got Halloween.
1978.
Original. 1978.
Where it all began.
What an amazing start to your goddamn career.
I'll say so.
Like, what? Like, oh, my first movie? Oh, yeah. It was just this little film called Halloween.
A fucking groundbreaking classic.
So good. And she is amazing in it. I rewatched it this week. I rewatched that and the second one. Everything else I had not seen prior. Had you seen anything else prior?
Of her movies?
Yeah.
You've seen
most of them.
Most of them.
Yeah.
Except for the one that we weren't naming before.
And except for the ones that were in basically pitch black. So just to riddle off, I mean, what a resume in such a short amount of time. You had Halloween in 1978.
Yep.
The Fog, 1980. Prom Night, 1980. Terror Train, 1980. Road Games, 1981. Halloween 2, 1981. And then the next one we see is 98 and 2002.
Yeah, both which Halloween
I don't
movies.
Say, which I don't even want to bring up. But Halloween 1978, what a great movie. I mean, she, for your first movie, can you even believe, like, to comprehend her performance in that? I mean, she's so natural in it.
She is, and it's no secret. Halloween is my favorite horror movie ever, and it's in my top three favorite movies.
Rewatching it again, you just appreciate it.
She's such a strong,
a little more every time.
Yeah, she's such a strong character,
in
female lead,
and in a time where I feel like, well, actually, I mean, that kind of predates even all the slasher flicks where girls were portrayed as stupid sluts and
oh yeah,
these horrible portrayals of women in horror. Which is crazy because she did it first and she did it the best. Yeah. Why were they like, you know what people want to see? Ones that are terrible and die.
Yeah.
They don't want to see. No. She got it wrong. Even though we're all basing our movies off of their movie. Fuck it. No, we'll just kill them all. We'll slaughter them all.
Yeah. I don't understand it either.
Makes no sense.
She goes toe to toe with the boogeyman.
Straight up. Goddamn
boogeyman.
Straight up. Like almost no fear. I mean,
no, there's
fear. There's fear, but in a sense, like, not backing down.
Yeah,
she's terrified.
Not taking off her clothes and screaming.
Yeah, like,
hiding in a corner.
Yeah. Amazing. When she says "sleep tight, kids," it's like she's going to war.
Yeah. You got it. Yeah, you're right.
When she says that, man, I was like, I was empowered. I can't even imagine a girl. Like, if I had a daughter, I'd be like, sit your ass down. You're gonna watch this. You do this. You fuck people up. Somebody enters the house, stab them with a knife. I don't give a stab them with a crochet needle or whatever she ends up stabbing them with. Badass. So badass. Laurie Strode, great character all around.
Yep.
All around.
100%.
I don't even want to get into that movie because everyone should have seen it.
Go see it. If you haven't seen the original Halloween, the fuck are you doing with your life?
Halloween 2, the follow-up. 2 years later.
A solid follow-up.
I think this does this predate Friday the 13th?
No, Friday the 13th was 80.
And then this, oh yeah, right, this is 81.
81.
you can kind of see the effects of Friday the 13th in it. Now, here's something I didn't realize. So, funny enough, I think I've seen two more than I've seen the original as a kid. I don't know why. I couldn't explain to you why, but I remember every scene of that like crazy. I don't know why. I don't know what it was.
I always thought it was a pretty worthy sequel.
It was a great sequel. And what I thought was hilarious, which I didn't ever realize, was they wrapped that movie up.
Yeah, because
that movie is tied up with a bow at the end. There is no...
Which is why Halloween 3 doesn't have Myers.
There is no Michael Myers winking. There's no Michael Myers like winking at the camera, eyes shooting open. That's the end.
That's it.
That's the end of Michael Myers.
Yeah.
They play Mr. Sandman at the end, and it is a great ending.
Yep.
Love that. I love this. I love that it picks up right away, too. My only problem with it was they reshot the end of the first Halloween. Did you notice that?
I did.
Well, I mean, it is a little anticlimactic, the original one. They didn't have the budget to like throw this guy off the roof.
Right.
So it's kind of like this weird stumble cut.
He's poking the eye and stumbles backwards.
Yeah, I'm like, oh. And in the second one, they've reshot it to this like, whoa, and he goes like flying off the balcony to ensure he's dead. In the original, he kind of just falls off to the point. But it made kind of more sense. It kind of made a little bit more sense. Which Michael Myers is scarier, the first one or the second one?
First one.
I agree. I did like, though, I just love that he was wounded to start the second one. I love that continuity. I kind of love that he was like hurt and he was like kind of stumbling around. Man, Halloween is kind of untouchable.
You brought out to me like last week that you didn't remember. You didn't realize how much Michael Myers spends driving in the car. First one.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Thank
as
you.
The movies, as the series went on, he's like walking like Jason. You know, he's just like a slow walker. Fucking cruising.
He took Jason's, which is such a shame.
Yeah.
He was such a unique character in the original and even in the second, well, maybe less in the second one. But in the original, he's more of a serial killer than... He's more of a character, more of a real human being than the boogeyman, so to speak. It ends with him kind of turning into the boogeyman, getting up and walking away.
You realize that he's...
But at the same time, he was kind of a beast. He was kind of like a built beast.
A big dude, yeah.
Which I like the Michael Myers, or the Rob Zombie versions. I do. Mm. One of the reasons I do like him, though, is because of the way they portrayed his frame. Like, his frame is enormous.
He's like a wrestler.
But I think that was kind of a way for Rob Zombie to kind of explain the feats of strength that he had. Like, in this one, it's not that it wasn't believable, but he's, like, lifting guys up by the neck. But he's not bigger than your average guy.
Yeah.
So it was cool to see Rob Zombie make him enormous and make that a little more believable. And I think that was Rob Zombie kind of doing what the original did, which was make him more of a human than a supernatural character like Jason or something like that.
Right.
I'm
pretty sure the name of the actor who played Myers in the second one was Dick Warlock, which I think is like the sweetest name ever. So
Dick Warlock.
I'm going to verify that.
Dick Warlock probably getting tons of poon on the horror circuit scene.
Can we get Dick Warlock on this show?
Somebody give Dick Warlock my number. No, don't give him my number.
Dick, send me a tweet.
You'll be bugging me for money all the time. Sorry, Dick. Yeah, no, the funniest thing, though, was rewatching that first one for the first time in over 10 years and seeing Michael Myers driving around for the first half of the movie, not getting out of... Hey, work smart, not hard, right? I mean, why walk around when you can fucking drive around and stalk these kids? Like, it was amazing. It was so perfect. It was such an integral part of the movie, too, that he drove around, and I think people either overlook it or just don't think about it
right
enough. Really cool though. I love the Halloween movies. Up until
so going back to our Valentine. Two. Oh, how's this for a segue? Do you know who directed the second Halloween?
No.
Some guy named Rick Rosenthal. Do you know what else he directed?
The name sounds familiar, but
Halloween Resurrection.
No.
Yeah, he directed the second and Resurrection.
Oh, that actually makes me not happy. Okay, so here's why I'll tell you why that makes me not happy. So let's talk about H2O. He directed H2O also?
No.
Oh, he did Resurrection.
Just did Resurrection.
Such as disappointing. So let's start with H2O.
Okay, that was directed by Steve Miner, who has Friday the 13th Part 2, Friday the 13th Part 3, House, and Lake Placid under his belt.
Okay, well...
They okay. fucked everything all up with H2O.
Yeah. Yeah. So, 1981 was Halloween 2.
Yep.
So, we don't see Laurie again until 1998. And that's Halloween H2O.
Yes. Which, by the way, completely forgets about every other Halloween movie after Halloween 2.
Boy. You know, this movie, guys, this movie, I actually don't mind H2O. How do I say this? As a movie, let's pretend Halloween and Halloween 2 are just separate.
So I saw H2O in theaters, and I was so pumped that Jamie Lee Curtis was back. And even
well, everyone was. I mean, they were hyping it up. It was on TRL probably every day.
And even watching it this week again, I was like, you know what? This is sweet that Jamie Lee Curtis is back.
It was cool.
Back in the same role. She's all grown up now, coming back. Well, you just said it was cool. It was not cool, but like the theory behind it was cool.
Yeah, sorry. Please, everyone excuse me. I'm like, I don't even know how many beers in. Enough.
But yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis is back, much older. She has a son.
A lot older. Named Josh Hartnett. She's got her signature,
short haircut.
Short haircut that she's now lived on forever.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder what movie debuted that haircut. Was it True Lies?
Was it? It might have been.
Might have been. But why? She's
She was such a babe.
She was. We should bring up, remind me, we should decide which one. Which one of these movies we thought she was the most attractive in?
It's Halloween, followed by Terror Train.
You're wrong on both. You are 100% wrong on both.
Is it The Fog?
Nope.
Then I disagree.
Okay, well...
Is it Resurrection?
Maybe. We'll get to that. So Halloween H2O, 1998. It's 20 years later. Boy... So many problems I had with this movie. Jeez. I think my biggest problem, though... No, they're all pretty big problems. The movie was not great. The concept was not great. The opening scene was great.
Yep.
Did you like that? I loved that. I did. Besides the cops showing up a day later.
I know.
That was weird. So we open
Joseph,
up this...
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, we're not going to go through all this movie, but Joseph Gordon-Levitt opens up the movie young as shit. Funny to see him as a kid. But he's like, him and his neighbors, his neighbor comes home, the house is empty.
She worked with Donald Pleasant's character, Dr. Loomis, in the original.
Yep, so she's all freaked out because the house clearly had been broken into.
She calls the cops.
It's... It's quitting time, so, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock p.m. Justin Gordon-Levitt goes in, checks it out. It's all clear. She goes in. She proceeds to be murdered and chased around by Michael Myers, who's back, trying to get the files on Laurie Stroud from her. He ends up killing both kids.
One with a hockey skate. Pretty sweet.
You know, I was just about to make fun of it because... The bodies were propped up in such a way that the woman was going to find them. Like, she spins the chair around and he's got a skate in his face and she opens the door and the other dead kid falls in. I was about to make fun of that. And I realized in the original, when Jamie Lee Curtis goes into the bedroom, they're all propped up
in positions.
Much cooler positions, but more realistic positions. Not leaning it on the back door and being like, I know she'll open the back door. So I can't really rip on that. But it was a great opening scene, I thought. I was kind of pumped after seeing the opening scene.
Not bad.
I was okay.
Promising.
I was okay. And then we get into the Laurie Stroud character, where she is now. She's like a...
You pronounce it Stroud? I always said Strode.
Yeah. Strode. I'm an ignorant, giant dumbass, so it doesn't matter. It's probably Strode. And they've probably said it a million times in the movies, and I'm still refusing it. So Laurie Strode, fancy, is now the head mistress at a private boarding school, sort of.
Yeah.
Or maybe just a private school. Makes no sense. Horror movies in 98 to 2001 are so goddamn bad.
That was a bad stretch for...
And this one is no exception. They all took the Scream route. They all tried to be... Scream did this brilliant presentation of... Not mocking, but almost paying homage to old movies while also kind of laughing at the fact of how silly they can be sometimes.
Exactly.
And built that into a horror movie and made it perfect.
Yeah.
Every movie during this time period after Scream just insulted your intelligence by trying to attempt similar things. But not even trying. It felt like they weren't even trying. It was just kids that were like, these kids, we open up with Josh Harnett, who plays her son, and he is just, they're like, man, everyone's going to a field trip. Time to have a fucking orgy. And it's not ironic.
I know.
It's not ironic.
I know.
And then you're just like, this doesn't, what? Why is this happening?
It's
why is this happening?
It's actually unbelievable when it you watch
hurts.
It.
Yeah. It hurts you. It
because,
hurts your heart.
Because Scream is saying those things because it's being ironic.
Because it's being ironic. Exactly.
And these movies, there's
no irony in it at all. Like, this is like a plot point. We're such horny teens.
Yeah.
And there's a scene that drove me so, it pissed me off so bad. Laurie Strode, the headmistress, who's changed her name and relocated, which I'll get into in 2 seconds, is giving a speech. The whole school's going on a field trip except 4 kids. Go figure. And she's like, okay, kids, now I don't want any musical sleeping bags. The whole school, boo! And no drinking, boo! And I'm like, what school is this? Like, everyone is basically admitting we're getting drunk. Yeah. And then she even says, and no drugs. And they did tame the booze down a bit, but there was still loud. It was boo! And you're just like, what school is this? All these kids should have been expelled on site.
What? Field trip is canceled.
Yeah, what? Are you serious? Oh, no, don't worry. You guys are booing. I trust you, though. You guys are so pissed about these normal rules. No, it's fine. You guys go off on your own. Do your own thing. My biggest problem, though, which I think I started 10 minutes ago, was the fact that the whole story is she's relocated, changed her name, taken a job, trying to overcome this whole Michael Myers thing. Yet, not discreet about this at all. Telling everyone. The son is telling everyone. It pisses me off that the son's like, Mom, get over your psychotic brother. What? He tried to kill her twice. Horribly. Viciously and murdered all her friends.
In front of her.
And
her most traumatic experience.
And like in the opening scene when he's like first consoling her because she's having like a night terror about him, you're like, oh, okay, this is... You almost think he doesn't know. He's just like, oh, Mom, you had one of those terrible dreams again that you have. But no, he knows. Your stupid psycho brother, get over it.
And the worst part about that, though, is that's actually probably what a piece of shit teenager would actually say to their mother. Come on, Mom, it was happened 10 years
ago. Mom, it was like 20 years ago. Are you fucking serious?
No, all asshole teenagers.
Who gives a shit? Your brother killed everybody in the town. Go fuck yourself, Mom. Deal with it. Build a bridge and get over it. So bad. But you want to blame just that one character for ruining that concept. But then Lori is talking to this guy she's banging and is like, yeah, I've got some skeletons in my closet. And he's like, oh, yeah, like what? And she's like, well, I'm Laurie Strode. My brother's Michael Myers. He kills people. And, you know. And he's like, what? And like, what? Why are you just telling everyone? Why is everyone knowing? Like, why are you?
I know.
Why change your name?
You went 20 years. And now you're just blurting it all out.
Michael Myers did not have to break into this woman's house to find you. He could have just walked around and somebody would have been like, hey. That crazy bitch changed her name. She lives up at the fucking school. She tells everyone about it. The son rats her out to everyone. My other problem. I mean, there were so many problems.
LL Cool J?
Actually, I liked LL Cool J.
No, you didn't.
Joe, there were so many other problems. I can't pick apart LL Cool J when Josh Harnett brings his girlfriend to his basement and there's candles set up. By the way, of course this takes place on Halloween. You have to, of course, know that. Brings her downstairs. There's candles everywhere. And she's like, all of this for me? He's like, well, I've never celebrated Halloween before. A romantic dinner is how you celebrate. What? That doesn't even make sense. Like, I've never celebrated Halloween before. I just want to try it once. This is not celebrating Halloween. Fucking in a basement full of candles is never how anyone is like, that's Halloween. Describe Halloween in one sentence. None of that comes up. None of that comes up. I can't pick apart LL Cool J's awesome, weird writer.
aspiring
erotic writer.
But can we pick apart when he gets fucking shot?
Yeah, you can pick that apart because it made no fucking sense.
So first of all, Laurie Strode's boy toy, Michael Myers comes back. He thinks he's shooting Mike Myers. He's the worst shot I've ever seen in my entire life. He's firing rounds off from a six shooter.
You shouldn't believe that he's a good shot, though, because he's a nerd, right? So make him shoot. This is my biggest problem with this scene. So he's shooting. At first, I thought he missed.
Well, yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, he's
and believable, right? Because
yeah.
He's a nerd. He's just a teacher.
Right.
He's a little teacher. He's kind of a pipsqueak. And he fires a gun. He doesn't know how to fire a gun. It's great that he misses. However, he then goes up to LL Cool J and there's blood
he
pouring out of
his... He fucking smokes LL Cool J.
Blood
LL pouring... Cool J is dead as shit.
How much blood is on the ground? It's not even like a little blood.
LL Cool J is so fucking dead. And then later on, LL Cool J is not dead.
Yeah.
He saves the day. And then he has a bandage. Like, where's the bandage? It's like over his head.
It's
just wrapped over his head. But he's totally conscious. He's not being looked at by EMTs or anything. He's walking around talking about a new fucking idea he has for a script.
Listen, you might...
Cool J, you just got fucking shot 20 times.
He's talking to his wife. He's like, I've got the best idea for my next novel.
Go to the fucking hospital, LL. You have bullets in your body.
And it was so racist. The portrayal of him and his girlfriend... More his girlfriend was so racist. But... Yeah, the bandage. I've used more gauze when I like get a paper cut than he had on his head from a gunshot.
There was so much blood.
Even if it was there was blood everywhere. Everywhere. That was my biggest problem with that. Like you could have just not shown that and then be like, "Oh my god, we killed him."
Yeah.
Oh, it turns out you actually missed every bullet cuz you're an idiot and he actually lived. He just fell down and was like, "Fuck."
Yeah.
This guy's trying to kill
playing
me.
Dead. Yeah.
Yeah. But no. No. He bled like a pig, and that's it. Terrible movie, but Jamie Lee...
Can we talk about the end real quick?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So Michael Myers is being taken away in an ambulance. Jamie Lee Curtis steals the ambulance, drives away in it. It crashes. Mike Myers is pinned between a tree. Jamie Lee Curtis chops his fucking... head off, right? Clearly decapitates him.
Mm-hmm. There's no blood either, by the way.
I mean, it's like, he like puts his hand out, you know, when people like, behind a prison wall, puts his hand out and they have like a moment. Like
it was almost a like a weird brother-sister thing. And and
she cuts his head off, you know, she's the winner of the whole situation. End of the series, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah. So, I had a lot of problems, but Jamie Lee was really good in the movie. Do you agree with that? I thought she was great. I think there was a terrible story written around her.
I'll agree with that. She definitely lived, like, you could tell she was excited to be reliving the role.
That's exactly what I felt, too. You could almost feel the excitement. She was, like, in.
Yeah.
She was in 100% on that. And... You listen to these other podcasts, like How Did This Get Made and some of these other movie podcasts, and you realize how much goes on after you shoot this movie or how much goes on when you get to the set. How much is promised to you before the movie starts, and then you get to the set and you're like, what the fuck is this? Like,
right.
This is not what I signed up for. And I think she did a great job the whole movie, and maybe something happened afterwards where it was just a pile of shit. Well, we do know something happened that afterwards that was a pile of shit. The CGI'd mask.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awful.
They not only changed Mike Myers' mask from the William Shatner.
And like 10 times during the course of this movie.
Yeah, and then at one point they CGI the mask onto him. Why you would do that, I can't think of a single explanation for it.
It's a fucking mask. Just have him wear the fucking
mask. Wear a mask.
It worked every other movie up until now. Every other movie.
Like, I just don't understand why somebody in the editing room was like, we got to CGI this mask just on this scene. Not the whole movie. Just
that probably
scene.
Cost more than the rest of the movie.
I don't understand.
It's wild.
But yeah, Jamie Lee gets some
Jamie
love.
Jamie Lee brings it, I feel she like. Some love I liked it. And seeing just an older Laurie Strode was fun. Just bringing her back. You
know, a pretty bad movie, but not a
not
god
unwatchable.
Awful,
right.
Unwatchable movie.
Yeah, not unwatchable.
Yes.
It's on the edge, though.
it's the lower end of the
Now I'm
bowl.
Thinking about it. It's pretty low. Which brings us to Resurrection.
Which brings us to the end of the total.
Which
bowl.
I watched 12 minutes of and then turned off.
I watched the entire thing God. For you guys.
Here's my notes. here's my notes on this one. Busta Rhymes. Damn it. Tyra Banks. Double damn it. How do you start off a movie with those two names on the... on the board.
Yeah. Busta, I know you stopped 12 minutes in. Busta Rhymes spends the entire movie, well, I guess just being Busta Rhymes, because, you know, he's... Busta Rhymes is actually a cartoon character. That's in real life. I mean, he's just the most animated human being I've ever seen.
His music videos were more of a horror movie than this.
But not only does he spend the time acting like a real-life cartoon character, he spends the entire movie, like, narrating his actions to himself. Like, he'll be watching TV and somebody's knocking on the door. Like, oh, who's knocking on my door? Make me interrupt this movie. Don't they know? And he's just, like, explaining, like we don't need that.
Like, do you think that's the writer? Or do you think that, like, Busta Rhymes was like, dude, I got this.
I don't know. Because the one scene where he knocks on the door, he's talking about... First of all, he's sitting watching some Kung Fu flick, and he's just talking about how much he likes...
Sounds ad-libbed.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you know, I love this Kung Fu flick. You'd be getting this. And he's like narrating the Kung Fu. We're like, we know you're watching it, Busta. You don't need to tell me as the viewer. It's like the first time, like I was like insulted that he's telling me what I'm watching. As he walks to the door, instead of just going to the door, he's explaining what's happening in that scene. He's like, I was just watching this movie, and now I'm walking to the door and I'm being interrupted. Like, why are you doing this? I know, I'm watching you do it. You don't need to tell me. It was so annoying.
Dude, if this is your first time listening, Joe has really never shit on the dynamics, the structure of a movie. I've always had to be the one that does it. And he's like, oh, yeah, I never noticed that. He's always very good about that. So for him to do this is amazing. I'm so happy. I mean, this was a piece of garbage, and I only watched 12 minutes of it. We see Jamie Lee for 12 minutes of the movie. Spoiler alert.
So Michael Myers' fucking head is cut off in H2O.
Oh, my God.
But he's back. And they explain it in such a lazy-ass way, like... Oh, he switched himself. He put his mask on one of the EMTs and tied him up, and then he escaped and he walked away in the EMT outfit. So it was really just an EMT in the stretcher that Jamie Lee Curtis traps behind a tree, and then they have a moment. Which, I know the guy's trapped, but why isn't the guy being like, fucking help me, I'm not, like, get this mask
Michael
off
Myers
me.
Michael Myers crushed his larynx.
Is that what happened? Yeah. I missed that part.
He crushed his larynx.
So they did explain it.
But, okay, all right, so here's...
But he has hands. Pull the mask off your head.
Oh, yeah.
His hands were free.
That's CGI. So here was my biggest problem. I actually kind of, when they were explaining that whole background, I was like, okay, that's pretty creative to come up with that. Almost to the point where I was like, did they make that ending like that on purpose? But then here was my biggest problem. Well, first of all, this movie just starts out like shot out of a gun. Jamie Lee's in a mental institution.
Yeah.
But she's already Michael Myers is already there, like staring her down from the window. It's so weird.
Well, that was her hallucination.
But not really, because he's there.
Yeah, but you know what? Fuck you.
Right. No, I mean, I'm 100%. You're 100% right, right? Like that.
You're right.
It's weird.
Now that you say that, like, I'm still pretty sure that was a hallucination, but he is
there. We just got to get her in there.
But he is there.
Because in H2O, that's what happened. She was having those visions of him, but it wasn't him. And then ultimately, finally, it actually was him that she saw. But it was a slow build. This one was like, all right, let's just do that in two scenes.
Yeah, and then they throw in, like, again, they throw in some asshole to just, like, this guy has a hard-on for serial killers, and he just, like, has a hard-on for Mike Myers.
That was so weird.
And he's, like, explaining the
whole... Why was that even in there?
Again, this movie just insults your intelligence. He's just explaining the history of Mike Myers, which you should already know if you're watching Halloween Resurrection. He's just blabbering on everything Mike Myers did just to give, like, the viewer... caught up, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know why. It made no sense. And really, let's just wrap this up because she was only in it for 12 minutes and she looked like crap. And I don't want to say this on Valentine's Day, my date, but she looked like crap.
I know.
She looked horrible. And I guess it was intentional. But
I will give Jamie Lee some love for this only because I read that she only agreed to be in this movie and only agreed to be in it for 12 minutes because she was contractually obligated to star in one more, so she worked it out that this is all she's gonna do. She's gonna be in it, and if she dies, they can never like use Laurie Strode in another sequel.
Oh, that's awesome!
Like her version,
Good for her. Yeah, my problems though, again, so they explain that ending where the guy was reaching out because technically he couldn't speak and somehow couldn't get his mask off. So he's reaching out almost like, help me, and then she decapitates him, thinking it's Michael Myers being like, I love you,
yeah.
But then this Michael Myers does the same thing because he was watching or it made no sense, right?
And then real quick, the whole rest of the movie takes place on a reality TV show run by Busta Rhymes in Michael Myers' old house. And it's really abysmal. It's so bad. Oh, my God.
It cost $13 million to make this movie.
Yeah.
Do you know how much it made?
A lot.
Yeah.
It was a hit.
37. And this is why we can't have nice things. This is why we can't.
They both were hits. They both are big hits. But, I mean, if you're watching H2O and you're thinking to yourself, man, it doesn't get much worse than this, watch Resurrection and you will have a higher opinion.
How about the weird, cheap slow motion they used in the hospital scene? It was, like, made by, I don't know what the hell was going on here. And why did Michael Myers give his... I don't even want... Why are we digging into this? It was so bad. Why did he give his knife to that guy, like, as a present?
Dude,
Michael Myers killed everyone that stood in his way. Well, not everyone, but, I mean, if you were... He would have killed that guy. Michael Myers?
I'm your biggest fan. Yeah.
He gave it to him, like, yeah, what up?
Fucking softy.
What up, son? Thanks for being a fan. Thanks for supporting the cause, brother.
Moral of the story, Resurrection is a flaming pile of dog shit.
Yeah. Guys, we are going to take a quick break, and we are going to come back with the rest of Jamie Lee's treasures from the 80s. We are done with the horrible, horrible 1998 and 2000s. We're going to stick to our gems in the 80s, and we will be right back.
Yeah.
Anyone who was brave enough to see Friday the 13th on Friday the 13th, and they will tell you they were terrified over and over and over and over.
The 11th, the 12th, the 13th, Friday the 13th.
We dare you to see this film all over London and in the West End. Your Fright Day will be the day you're brave enough to see Friday the 13th. Certificate X.
All right, guys, welcome back. We are still here. We're waiting on Jamie Lee still. I'm getting a little tired.
So, I mean, she'll be here.
She'll be here. I know. She's going to show. She's got to show. But you know what? Those Halloween movies were great. Well, no. Two of them were good. But let's talk about some other gems from the 80s. Not a lot of people have seen, I don't think. Maybe. But Prom Night, I don't know. I
think the mainstream probably hasn't seen them. I think a lot of horror heads have seen them.
Yeah, I guess you're right. We'll do these in chronological order.
Let's do it.
The Fog.
The best.
So good.
I love The Fog.
Not a huge fan of it, really. It's good, though. It's
disappointing it's a good to
movie.
Me.
I'm just, it's not a huge Jamie Lee movie.
It's not a huge Jamie
Lee movie. It's weird because it's set up for her to be... Like, you see her, she's like one of the first people you meet, kind of, and you're like, oh, this is going to be the main star, and she's not at all.
There's just something about the whole feel of that movie, and you're right, she's not the star, yeah. But there's just something like, it's just like a perfect Ghost Pirates. The fucking,
I guess my thing is, I don't really like Ghost Pirates. And
Did that Garfield Halloween special ruin it for you?
I was going to bring it up. So having seen probably Garfield's pirate horror adventure, Halloween adventure first, I was probably like, this is a cheap ripoff of Garfield. This sucks. The whole like ghost pirates looking for their gold. It just.
See, I liked it.
It doesn't drive me. And that's not to say it wasn't good. Adrian Barbeau.
Babe.
Such a babe.
Yeah.
She's on my list for possible next year.
Okay.
Swamp Thing.
Yep.
So good in Swamp Thing.
Yep.
So good in Swamp Thing. The Fog, though, it's a fun movie to watch. It's a great one, I think, for kids, too. To an extent.
Yeah, it is. Like young kids, but the story's being narrated to kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how it starts. Yeah, that's right. It's a cool movie. Jamie Lee.
It's a John Carpenter flick.
John Carpenter. Jamie Lee brings it in that, though, I think. As much as she can for her role.
Yeah. Jamie Lee's in her prime now.
Man, she's just a natural. Like, she's just kind of... In a role like that where she's not the lead, she kind of goes unnoticed because she's just good. Whereas a girl in that position that would be an awful actress, she'd be like, that stupid, dumb. That's,
I'll agree with that.
That's like reading lines off of a cue card.
So in terms of hotness on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rank her in the original Halloween?
We'll save this.
We'll save it?
Yeah.
We'll go back to it?
Yeah, okay. come back to the scale.
Okay.
After Fog, 1980, we go to Prom Night, also 1980.
Yep. So
I want to stick around Prom Night for a little bit.
I just want to say before you talk about how you felt about it or anything in it, I saw this movie for the first time my freshman year of college, and the copy that I had, they must have remastered this because Sean gave me this newer copy to watch this week, and you know it was
normal,
a typical normal low budget 80s movie. The version that I saw in college looked like it was filmed. I don't even know how to describe it. I could not see anything. The movie was almost pitch black, and I remember at the end, my two buddies and I looked at each other, and we were like, what the hell just happened? But not because we were confused, because we couldn't see what just happened. It was so dark. It was like they forgot to pay a lighting. So if anyone knows if they remastered this and released it, please let me know.
They did remaster it.
Oh, you do know.
Yeah, okay. They remastered it.
Because I was genuinely confused. Because I was like, the whole time I watched it with my fiance sitting next to me, I'm like, be prepared to be blown away at how fucking dark this movie is. And then it ended, and I was like, was I high? I mean,
man, I like this. Jamie Lee plays Kim Hammond, I guess run of the mill kind of gal.
Yep.
Her sister dies in an accident with neighborhood kids who torture her out of a window, essentially.
Yeah, teaser out of a window.
Teaser out of a window, despite the sister was the one that like climbed up on a desk and pushed herself out of a window.
This is kind of a precursor to I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, yeah.
By like 30 years.
But, big time. Because essentially this killer has the list of all the kids that tortured the sister.
And he's letting them know that.
Oh yeah, he's letting them know. He's leaving them notes. He's leaving them signs. So many damn red herrings in this movie, though. I mean, they really thought that they were. Can we just start off that the movie is poorly made? Production value is
not
low.
Yeah, it's not
very low. Acting low. The budget is.
They spent all their money getting Jamie Lee Curtis and Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
That's where everything went.
Yes.
And that was it. I don't know why they spent money on Leslie Nielsen because he has
no part.
Nothing
no part.
To contribute
no,
to this
no
movie.
No part at all. It's such a wild story. So this killer's coming back to, I guess, get revenge for a dead girl. And they're trying to pin this on anyone they can in the movie. The janitor. An escaped child molester.
A cop.
They try to pin it on everyone, and the whole time...
The bully.
The whole time you're going, well, I know it's not them, but it's somebody somehow related to this girl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's almost like you know who the killer is at the end. When you see the killer in the end, you just go, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's really weird because, like you said, there is all these red herrings, so it does kind of keep
not
you
red herrings.
It's, I don't know how to explain it. You're kind of like, it keeps you kind of guessing, as it should, because it's all red herrings, but then when it's revealed, you're kind of just like, yeah, I guess I did know that.
I did know it was going to be this guy. Yeah, it's so weird. Jamie Lee is, I think, great in it, though. I think, I mean, maybe it's just because who she's surrounded by, but I really liked her in this movie. I thought she was great.
I did, too. I did like her in it.
The disco dancing scene.
Okay, so this movie came out in 1980. Disco was dead by 1978, 79?
They say 78, I think, was the year disco died.
And if there's anything we know about teenagers, is that they're very topical. Like, they're not. If something has been declared dead, that's not what their prom's going to be like.
I have an argument for you here.
Okay.
I felt the same thing at first. I was like, disco is dead, I think, by this time. They're in Canada.
Is it?
Canada's like...
Wait, is it really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it took place in Canada. How did I miss
that? I don't know if it took place in Canada.
Oh, they filmed
it in Canada. It's a Canadian movie.
Okay.
And made by Canadians. And, you know, they're a little behind on the times, I think.
Alienating all our Canadian listeners.
I'm sorry, Canadians. But admit it. During this time period, you were a hair behind the rest of the country. That's not a problem. But disco was probably just starting to boom in Canada.
All right, fair enough.
They were getting down. They were boogieing still.
How about our girls' dance moves?
So good. So damn good. She was bringing it. Bringing it so good. Great movie, though.
Yep.
No, I'm sorry.
Enjoyable movie.
Enjoyable.
So this is... my boy, puberty. This is the kind of movie where watching it, this might sound weird. Hopefully other people can relate to this. Watching it, I was like, I don't know if I like this. And then when it ended and like I thought about it, I was like, you know what? I did like that.
You're watching it and you're just like, this isn't a good movie. This is not a good movie. But then it ends and you're like, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It answered all my questions. I had some fun.
It could have been way worse.
I had some fun times. Yeah,
there were some good kills.
Good kills.
That killer. All right. The one thing I have to say about Prom Night.
Oh, my God.
Is
yes.
That killer. I know. I said this to Sean the other day after I watched it. I think I said, it's like they hired an actor. A different studio hired an actor for like a slapstick movie, and he just stumbled upon this set because he was just hopping around like a fucking stooge.
He was like the most animated killer I've ever seen. Like, I wish I could.
And he sucks at killing.
His knees were coming up so high when he was like hopping around. Like, it was so animated.
It's
it was
like
the
a
most
Benny Hill character.
Yeah, it was
so Yakety Sax to play every time.
It was so silly. It was so he was the silliest killer of all time. I would not have minded if that guy killed me. I'd be like, oh, that's funny. Boom, dead. All right, whatever. Great movie, and leads into another Canadian movie that was made in
this 19- was Canadian too?
Yeah.
What?
And the stories are so similar that I was like, I was almost like, she probably just lived in Canada that year. Probably said, fuck it.
They were really similar. I did try to look up on it, and she filmed them simultaneously.
And more disco, by the way.
Yeah.
Way more disco.
She would go from one set to the other.
You looked that up?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
She was probably like, I'll say Prom Night was the worst movie because Terror Train is next, right? Terror Train is what we're talking about. Prom Night
is the worst made movie.
Is the poor made movie.
Yeah.
I almost want to say that she was going to Terror Train filming and then going to Prom Night and being like, guys, this movie sucks. Here's what we're doing on Terror Train if we want to just roll with that. Terror Train was cool. I don't know. It was the same thing. I'm watching it, and I'm like, I don't like this. This isn't a great movie. And in the end, I was like, I enjoyed myself.
Terror Train had better production value, which made it a little bit more enjoyable during the watching. But again, Terror Train kind of dragged at some points.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked...
It was real boring. Yeah, you're right.
I did really like the idea behind Terror Train. Again, you know who the killer is right off the bat.
Yeah.
But much like Prom Night, it's still giving you like false leads, and you're like, but then when it reveals it, you're like, I like in the back of your mind, you just knew the whole time.
We need to find some more Canadian horror movies and just see if they all do this, like shitloads of red herring, bad red herrings.
Yeah,
I would love it. It'd be so funny. Terror Train, I'm shocked has not been remade because the concept is cool.
Yeah, it is.
Being like stuck on a train, like I don't know, it's just
partying with your friends, a Halloween party on a train, going on a trip.
It's
Halloween, so everyone's wearing a mask. You're in a confined space. There's nowhere to run to.
Tons of people, like
David Copperfield,
some shitty magician that hates kids. But
you know, it's David Copperfield, right?
Was it?
Yeah, it was actually him.
Really? Oh, that's awesome. Well, there goes that budget. Jamie Lee.
That was before he was like big, like magician star.
Really? Yeah. That's awesome. Jamie Lee, again, great in this
movie. She was great in this movie. Yeah.
Really good. She was really kick-ass at the end, too.
She was.
I really liked the way she brought it in that. Both movies so similar, and while they're not great, I really enjoyed them.
Can we talk about that scene where he has that big, stupid green mask on, and he's like... He's like fondling the girl
with a dead hand.
With a dead hand, he leaves it on her breast.
There's so many things.
It keeps cutting to that big, stupid green face. It's not scary at all.
Well, it's funny because like the eyes on that mask, they look almost like his human eyes are really wide, but I think they were painted on eyes to the mask, right? They looked like he just had these giant eyeballs. It was so weird. Please watch this movie just for that scene.
It's so silly.
Yeah, it's so
silly. Silly is the only word I can use for it.
We follow this up with our final movie from Jamie Lee in the horror genre. Can you believe like these are all horror, like this is her horror catalog. Road Games, 1981.
Road Games, Australian. I did not watch it. Apparently it's under a category called Ozploitation.
Did not know that existed.
Didn't know it existed. It's Quentin Tarantino's favorite Ozploitation movie.
Of course he has.
You know he's seen like 500 Ozploitation movies.
Yeah. I mean, this is like top of the list.
This movie...
Is Mad Max Ozploitation?
I don't think so.
Okay.
This movie is extremely low budget, and it had the biggest budget for any movie in Australia at the time that it was released, which was 1981. Jamie Lee Curtis is actually barely in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
She is.
She had a weird role in the 80s. I mean, she did so well on Halloween. It's shocking that.
I was trying to read up on
her into these side roles, like in The Fog.
Yeah. I mean,
Road Games 81, it's a full year later.
She's just trying to get her name out there. I guess the director was trying to get this movie made, and he was like, I think he worked on. I mean, I want to say, don't quote me on this. I think I read The Fog, though. He worked on like production side of things, and he was like, I really want to get Jamie Lee as like a part in my movie I'm working on. So she agreed to do it.
That's cool.
But Road Games. It looks like it was filmed with a potato. It is really low budget. It starts off with Stacy Keach talking to his dog for 15 minutes, and I was like, God.
I don't know why.
I don't know if I can do this. And then, pretty much when Jamie Lee shows up, for whatever reason, she doesn't really do anything. It starts to pick up. It's about a serial killer. Stacy Keach is a trucker. There's a serial killer abducting women, burying the bodies in the vast outlands of Australia.
Stacy Keach
sees him around, and like in the distance he sees him digging something, so he takes up binoculars. He sees it. Jamie Lee is a hitchhiker running away from her parents. Stacy Keach picks her up.
Are these people doing fake Australian accents or no?
Nope. Stacy Keach picks her up, and it's kind of like a cat and mouse game. He kind of uses Jamie Lee to help lure the serial killer. Go on the hunt. Jamie Lee gets abducted. Stacy Keach tries to find her. Stacy Keach almost gets framed, and then story comes full circle. Jamie Lee's back. Everything's good. The day is saved. Oh, and it's not even a dog that Stacy Keach is talking to. It's a fucking dingo.
That's ridiculous, because the dingo is a wild dog.
It's a dingo.
And it would probably tear his face off while he's driving, eventually.
He's just sitting in the back, yeah. And he's yelling at people about it being a dingo, because they keep calling it a dog.
I hope somebody from Australia is like, hey, assholes, I own three dingoes. Go fuck yourself. They're beautiful majestic beast.
But like I said, when Jamie Lee shows up, she has that like magic touch because
she does.
I was like, you know what? This is actually pretty sweet. It reminded me of American Grindhouse films. Even though it was low budget and even though Stacy Keach should not be the lead ever. But he did a good job.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things I wanted to talk about. We watched a lot of movies here. You had Prom Night, Road Games, Terror Train that were not great by any means. Yet we liked them.
Yeah.
Is it Jamie Lee? Is Jamie Lee the magic touch?
She's the glue that holds it together.
What would Halloween be without her? What do you think? Do you think Halloween is the same movie without her?
I don't think so either.
It's hard to say that it would be terrible because John Carpenter was behind it.
Yeah.
But I think it's a different movie. She was so believable.
She was an all-American teenage...
Perfect girl.
High school girl.
She plays that in every movie, too, and it's great.
Yeah.
I can't even be like, whoa, she played just all-American girl in every movie. She was amazing.
You said it earlier. The Friday the 13th movies, they just make them, you know, slutty girls who get naked, want to fuck, want to party, do drugs. That's why you care more about Jamie Lee's character, yeah. Because it's not just like an exploitation of women. She's an actual normal human being.
And a badass.
And a badass.
On top of it, who's okay with defending herself and defending her friends.
And that's what I kind of liked about Terror Train, because, you know, she just pulls an innocent prank, which she thinks is innocent, but it affects this dude's life.
Yep.
And you, like, you know, she feels guilty about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. She's the only one that feels guilty about yeah. it. Everyone else seems to not give two shits about making this kid, ruining this kid's life forever. Let's talk about her most attractive role.
I named like all of them except for Road Games, which you didn't see, and you told me none of them were the ones that
you didn't name. Prom Night,
but there's no way that you believe
that. She is so sexy dancing around disco dancing, Joe. I saw that scene. I immediately posted it online and told everyone to go fuck themselves if they didn't think Jamie Lee was the hottest ever. Dude, she's a babe dancing like that. Dancing on air. It was like watching an angel dance in the clouds. Oh, Jamie Lee. And this is why she's going to choose me as her Valentine. I assure you. She's such a babe in those. She's such a babe in Prom Night.
I actually think besides Resurrection and H2O, Prom Night is her worst.
If I could reach you right now, I would punch you.
You can. Sitting maybe, right next to me.
Maybe. I don't know, man. She's badass in all of those and equally and attractive in their own rights. I just think Prom Night, she brought a lot of fire.
Yeah.
She brought a lot of sass. She was really, man, her dress. Oh, boy. She was a babe in Prom Night.
I just don't agree. It goes to Terror Train for me. Bah, Halloween. I thought Halloween and Terror Train are her two best.
Terror Train and Halloween, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would probably put Terror Train over Halloween. You're right. I kind of feel that way. I don't know why.
I think her hair, I think she's a little mature looking. I don't know.
You know, though, I'm thinking about Prom Night now. I do remember watching Terror Train after Prom Night and being like, oh, they could afford makeup in this movie. Yeah.
You're right.
I do remember.
They did have a better makeup and hair and all that.
Yeah, I vividly remember being like, oh, yeah, she looks so much better. But she just brought it on the dance floor. That was my biggest thing. She was hot on the dance floor. That's it for Jamie Lee. We're still waiting for her. Hopefully she shows up tonight. Hey, in the meantime, we asked you guys to send us your horror movie Valentine.
Yes.
Joe hasn't heard any of these. I'm going to do these. We're kind of running out of time here, so I'll do some of my favorite ones. Joe hasn't heard these yet, though, so I'm pretty pumped. We were so excited that any of you guys submitted these.
It's awesome.
We got such a great return on these. One is definitely my number one, though, but here are a lot of the ones I liked. These are all Tumblr users, by the way. So you can find them on Tumblr. And I'm going to post them on our Tumblr, ihatehorror.tumblr.com. You'll find their names there. I'll list them out for you. I think there's a way for me to create a page. Maybe I'll create a page for them. if I can figure out. Dude, you have a kid and technology goes out the window. I'm on Tumblr and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, there's that ask me anything thing.
Yeah.
And so I would ask people a question and they would send one back. And then, like, one person submitted one to me, and I replied, and it deleted the message. And I was like, I can't see what they wrote to me now. And I had to have them resend it to me. It was so embarrassing. I was such an old man. So the Ratchet Master, he or she said Heather Langenkamp.
Yep. My nice. Dear. Good choice.
Great choice. She played Nancy in Friday the 13th.
Negative. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Friday? Is it Friday the 13th? I said the right name. Okay, my bad. I'm going to edit that. She played Nancy in Friday the 13th. Next one. The Evil Dana. She says it is a tie between Bruce Campbell and Catherine Isabel, who plays the lead in Ginger Snaps.
Good choice. I like that. A girl sending in a male.
And a female, right? I was cool with that also.
Bruce Campbell, good choice.
It is. Solid it choice. Is. Following that up, we have Camaro Femme, who said Bridget from Ginger Snaps, of course.
Okay.
So I think that's the same character.
A lot of Ginger Snaps love.
There is. This was one of my favorites. And this is from a user named Horror Harbor. She's awesome. She's been reblogging the crap out of us and really helping us out here. She's been great.
Well, thank you.
I know. She's awesome. She said, and this might be one of my favorites, Ida Smith from Motel Hell, because she's a real classy, sassy broad. I was like, you know what? Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Give Ida some love.
Yeah.
She may be a little bit country, but hey, what the hell?
What a great choice. Sleeper pick of the year.
100%. 100%. I love that one. Camp Counselor Frying Pan, who we've actually talked about before. Awesome name. She says, probably predictable. I really like this one. Actually, I'm going to go with this other one first. Actually, hang on. Tumblr user, do not sit next to Dennis, says, hi guys, I don't have any horror character I would choose as a Valentine, although my favorite love story couples from horror movies are from horror movies. I'm sorry. Do not sit next to Dennis. I just butchered this. Hi guys, I do not have any horror character I would choose as a Valentine, although my favorite love story couples are from horror movies. Number one is Eric Draven and Shelley from The Crow, which shows true love going beyond death.
It does.
I'm cool Solid with that. Choice. I like that. Number two, this one blew my mind. I love this. I love horror fans. They're so cool. Like, this is so random. Number two is Clara and Coldo from Record 3 Genesis. Amazing. I love horror fans. Yes. Yeah, like,
that is.
You read the first one, and it's The Crow, and it's a classic, and you're like, okay. I see. I don't want to say you're not a horror fan, but you're maybe more of the mainstream. And then you say Record 3 Genesis. It's amazing. Like, so he says, Record 3 Genesis. Coldo is willing to do anything to save the love of his life, including maiming her and letting himself get infected when that fails, because he can't live without the love of his life.
Yeah, I like how he's explaining them too.
I know. So good. I loved that. I loved that post. So thank you. Do not sit next to Dennis.
Poor Dennis, though. We're telling people not to sit next to him.
Hey, what's up with Dennis? Yeah, what is wrong with you? No, you're great. You'll have to look up the spelling of his name, because he has like a hyphen in between every word. Okay. Do hyphen, not sit hyphen. So find him on our page. I'll link you guys to him. Camp Counselor Frying Pan. He's written us before. I liked his, though. Nice, good explanation. It was nice. Probably predictable, but if I had to pick one, by the way, not predictable at all. That's what I love the best about this. Probably predictable, but if I had to pick one horror Valentine, it'd be Robert Englund. I've had a crush on him since I was 9. My family had the first episode of Nightmare Cafe taped off of TV.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was just enamored with him on that. And I refused to believe my brother when he told me that guy's Freddy Krueger. Ha. I'm sadly no longer caught up, but there was a time when I had seen every movie he'd been in. It was really hard to track some of them down. Thanks for asking. Hope this is good enough.
That was awesome.
Camp Counselor Frying Pan, of course that's good enough. That was amazing. It's totally not predictable, though.
Having a crush on Robert Englund.
The last thing I would, and this is a female, too. This is a woman. I would never imagine anyone picking Robert Englund as a Valentine. So I'm sorry. Given the choice, least predictable.
What about Paper Brigade, Robert Englund?
No. No. But guys, just watch the documentary on the Friday the 13th series. Or why do I keep saying Nightmare on Elm Street series on Netflix? I forget what it's called. It's about 6 hours long, and Robert Englund just sucks his own D the entire time about basically how amazing of an actor he was. Even in the worst of those movies, he's like, I made some really good character choices. Robert, take it easy. You're Freddy Krueger.
You know what?
You just screamed like, shut up, bitch, and killed him.
That was a wonderful choice. I love that.
No, that was an awesome choice. No, I really do. It might sound like we're picking on it, but I thought that was a really, really well written too. And who doesn't love Robert Englund? I'll say I hate him as much as I want, but in the end, if you give me a Robert Englund movie, I'm going to watch the shit out of it. The last one before time runs out here. Tumblr user Mr. Creeps. This votes as my favorite because he wrote a poem. Although I really like Camp Counselor Frying Pan. That was a nice story. But
I like all of them actually. But
no, I like them all too.
I like the Wreck 3 and the Crow.
Yeah, I mean they're all good. It's hard damn it.
To pick a favorite.
So, but this guy wrote a poem which I've seen this is about VHS. His vote for Valentine is the spooky, spooky demon woman from VHS. I've seen VHS, but I was like, what is he talking about here? I read this poem, still didn't know, looked it up, basically shit my pants because it was so good. I just loved that he thought about this enough to think about this character and to write this poem. Roses are red, violets are blue, your friends were dicks, but I like you. And if you haven't seen VHS, please watch it and you'll be like, that's so good. Like, that's creative to think about that. I loved that one. I love that he sent that in to us and took the time to write. I thank everyone for taking the time to write those for us.
Yeah.
Even if they were short, we really appreciate it. It was so awesome. Ida Smith. Fuck yeah. Ida Smith from Motel Hell.
Yeah.
Fuck. That's so amazing.
Guys, yeah, I think that's awesome, actually. We got to do more things like this.
Yeah, we want you guys more write-ins. I don't even care what you tell us. Oh, don't pick on us. I don't take well to criticism, so be nice about it. But
you can send it to me on Twitter. Just don't post it on Tumblr.
Speaking of Twitter, end of the show. You know what that means. We want to thank Harley Poe for allowing us to use his song on our show. The song is called Gorehound off the album Pagan Holiday. You can find him at harleypoe.com and you can find the rest of his links on our website, ihatehorror.com. You can find me on Twitter. New Twitter handle is at ihatehorrorshow.
You find me at jovi421.
You can find us on Tumblr at ihatehorror.tumblr.com and you can find us at our official website, ihatehorror.com. Guys, the biggest thing you can do for us is rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, and really just tell your friends. Yeah. The reviews help us get up there, and maybe by Halloween when iTunes does that stupid, spooky podcasts to listen to, we can get on there. But really, that stuff doesn't matter. We just want people listening. So if you have a friend that likes horror movies and just you want to get jump started back in horror movies, I feel like this is a great spot. We're going to give you some great stuff to watch. Great ideas to watch. Just tune in, tell your friends, and we appreciate every one of you for mailing in those Valentines and just for listening in general.
Yes.
Guys, thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Adios.
Before we sign off, what was that dude's name that had the VHS Valentine?
VHS. Mr. Creeps.
Mr. Creeps. You got to be careful of those succubuses, man. They'll suck you by. Okay. I don't know if you want one of those as a Valentine.
Because that bitch is scary as a fuck.